Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm JP, and this is another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official weekly podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and subculture. We even throw in local reviews on everything from beer to music. On this week's episode, we'll revisit the old Dead City by Lake cassette compilation for its new digital incarnation with songs from Victims, Willing, and Gnawing Suspicion. We'll also be catching up with the latter group in an interview. And we'll be speaking with Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp about vegan eateries, and we'll be finding out more about the Grow Wild Nursery. Gnawing Suspicion is an industrial rock band from Salt Lake City. They formed in 1987 and became a staple of the noise rock scene here before disbanding in the mid-90s. Gnawing Suspicion reunited after Brad Collins from Raunch Record Store announced his reissuing of the Dead City by a Lake compilation. Here's Slug senior staff writer Gavin Hoffman interviewing the band about their history and the reunion.
So how long was the band together originally, from when to when, do you remember?
That's a good question. Who can remember? Can you remember, Ron? I think it was like about 87, maybe?
There was a thing called the Night of the Decline at the Word, and was Anacut involved with that show?
I think so.
The Clocks. And they were like, basically those were the only industrial bands in town at the time, almost.
Right.
I'm kind of doing weird experimental stuff.
To most of you people listening, this is probably way before your time. But this will be a nice lesson in history for all of you childrens. So, how long were you together? When did you kind of call it a day?
I don't know, like life was happening with everybody and some changes came at us. And Jim, O, and Ron, some various reasons had kind of moved away from Salt Lake maybe, and we were all kind of moving around. We got back together with Dwayne and Travis, though, who's not here, Travis Nelson. He also plays metal percussion and drums in the band. So we got back together again for a couple more years. Kind of ended it around 93, probably. Okay.
The one thing I want to say is one of the original members, we used to actually, in this, right now we're standing in the old Raunch Records, the front half of the old Raunch record from 1984 when Brad started the store here. Ron had a studio up in the back, I can't remember the number of it, but it had a ramp that went down to it. And we started making noise up there with sitars and the metal and, you know, amps, guitars and stuff, but make it more ambient and, I don't know, it wasn't really super high energy like punk rock or anything like that. It was more industrial and more experimental is probably what it was. But Jim Otten was one of the original members and he played bass. And I even think before that, Ron and I were just making noise up there. And maybe a couple other people would just come in, girlfriends and people like that would come in.
Jay Bird and maybe Jeff from the Stench.
It was when the Painted Word was going, so there was a lot of people in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the crazy part time for this building, because it was like there was artists here and there was actors here, and then people started making noise here, and we were one of the first people to start making noise, and I mean noise, in this building. We were miking the metal through a phase shifter, and we had the bass going through this one amp that had these underwater whale sounds coming out and stuff. It was pretty cool. There's some tapes of that around here somewhere. But Jim Otten passed away, and I think 1992 Jim passed away. I think it's a good thing to say, you know, he had a way about the way he went about things and the way he played and stuff, and he was a really cool bass player, and I just want to give some in memoriam to Jim on that for sure, man. We miss that guy.
Yeah, he also was a promoter.
He did Primordial, wasn't it called Primordial Productions?
Oh, okay.
He was bringing like Psychic TV and him and Bart.
Oh, okay.
Bringing the people from the birthday party, things like this.
Right, okay.
At Speedway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
With the decision to start doing this again?
Actually, you know, we've talked about this over the years. Everybody's wanted to do this, but Brett Collins asked us to do it, like, maybe the end of last year, early this year, to get together. He was going to re-release the Dead City by a Lake compilation.
And he actually did. And that was something that Dwayne was it came from. That was his brainchild.
Yeah, that was Dwayne's first poem.
Back then.
So, I don't know, it was just a spark that I started asking around and everybody wanted to do it. And so, the cool thing about it is, we did get one show under our belt. It did end up being for Bronch, but we'd like to play for him sometime. And then, everybody has a lot of energy going back into this, and we've been writing new songs. And that's the fun thing about it, is just the excitement about this project again.
And just the way everybody has grown. I mean, we all had something going on for ourselves back then, but now it's 20 years later, and it's like, there's a driving force. There's so many different options, like Travis plays drums, Davey plays drums, I play drums, Ron plays drums on some of the songs. Mm-hmm. You know, Dwayne is the only one who doesn't really switch around much, but
yeah.
But the next thing is me and Dwayne, Aldine and Dwayne, a dual guitar onslaught on a couple songs. We're gonna have to. So we got a lot of tricks in our bag that we can pull out. It's really
very
cool.
Nice. Yes, I'd like to hear that. Yeah. And then get it back to the...
I don't care what that guy down in Slug Review said.
You know what, Brett, he wanted to get all these bands together from the compilation to play a show.
Yep.
And we're the only ones that got back together. And,
yep.
And we're actually, not just for that, but we're going to play. But
just
we're
keep
gonna,
going.
Yeah, we're going to write some new material.
That's good.
Red Mission did get back together, though, but
yeah,
unfortunately, their drummer died.
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, Sean Sazaki.
But the new direction is like, Ron and I have been talking a little bit about doing this thing, and it's more like, I'd love to do some kind of a musicians collective thing where we just brought people in and started to do some recording and do a lot of recording and get some of that kind of gear moving and go in that direction and have guest people come in and vocalize or scream or rant, whatever, you know, spoken word. Anything is cool. Anything and everything is accepted. We don't turn our nose at anything.
So is that kind of the drive behind what you guys are doing now?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what me and Ron have been discussing. Everybody else is, we haven't really talked it over with everybody, but I'm sure they'll be on. I mean, we want to do like an On You Sound kind of thing where Ron will take the sort of the Adrian Sherwood kind of thing.
Right, okay, right.
Because he's really, pretty adept at the sounds and the noises and the stuff that's triggered by the synthesizers. And we're not shy to add that stuff in. Even if it's a punk rock song, we don't care. We'll put K-Oscillator over the top or some white noise or whatever, man. It doesn't matter.
So to kind of shift gears then a little bit, because you're talking about progressing going forward, how do you feel about Brad re-releasing the Dead City by LA comp? And what kind of feedback did you get initially when you had released it, and have you heard anything now that it's been re-released?
I've heard a lot of good feedback from people that have been picking it up at Ronch. You know, some of them have heard it, and they're happy to hear these songs again, but there's a bit of new people picking it up, and
there's a lot of new people that are picking it up.
Which is cool to me.
You would know the response better than me.
There's actually
comes back in and says, "Why the fuck did you sell me this?"
There's actually, there have been quite a few people because, I mean, you know, it's I think Brad's selling it for $5 right now, something like that. So we'll have just random people come in that are buying stuff. And, oh, what's this? Oh, it's an old Salt Lake comp. Oh, okay, well, I'll buy it anyway. And a lot of those people, if I see them again, really like the comp, and they're really happy with it. Because I know initially when he wanted to put that out, no one had a decent enough copy of it to get it.
We could never find the master.
Yeah. Transferred over. How did it end up happening? Did he just take it off a cassette to do it?
I gave him my cassette to use. I'm not sure if that's the one he did use.
So are you, I mean, just in general, are you happy that it's kind of seen a re-release, or do you care, or are you bummed out about it? Or
I'm happy. I want him to do Big Mountain next.
I've been pushing him to do Big Mountain.
Score out those records, so.
The following is from the originally released 1992 album Dead City by a Lake. You can find this on the reissue of the comp that was taken from the cassette and remastered for re-release. Here's Gnawing Suspicions, Piss Off, from the Dead City by a Lake comp. Gnawing Suspicion currently has no online outlets for you to check out more info on them, unfortunately. But to find some more of their music, as well as this compilation album, visit Raunch Records, located at 1098 East, 2100 South, in Sugar House. We are currently joined right now by Esther Moronio and Jeffrey Stedman of Yelp. Esther, of course, from Slug Magazine. She's our resident vegan. Can we call you that, Esther?
Sure.
And Jeffrey, of course, the what I like to call Yelp Wrangler. He manages the popular online social media review website called Yelp. All the local community members here. And we've gathered together today to talk about something near and dear to all of our hearts, I think, which is food, but specifically vegan food. Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about vegan stuff, and I'm super excited that Esther is with us here today as well.
Me too, especially since I got in on some treats.
Yeah, well, do you want to get right into that? We just enjoyed a vegan sandwich, which I didn't know was a real thing, like an Asian flavored one from Oh My.
Yeah.
What is Oh My? What's Oh My about?
Oh My is a new Vietnamese place. It's called Oh My. The official full name is Oh My Vietnamese Sandwich Kitchen, but they have noodles and pho and all kinds of stuff there. It's at 34th South and State. It's been open for 2 months and already has 54 reviews. It's really just like taken off to be probably one of the hottest, like newest places around. 4.5 out of 5 stars. They do have some vegan stuff. I think today we're talking about, they sort of fall into two categories, vegan places. Either places that like really focus on being vegan, or places that have a lot of great vegan options, but maybe that's not their major emphasis. And this is the latter. In Vietnamese food, you find a lot of great vegan options, and they have a vegan sandwich. Tell me your thoughts on the vegan sandwiches there. You seem to eat it quite rapidly.
Like a lady, though.
Very ladylike, but like a lady dinosaur. Just devoured, but a graceful dinosaur.
It's part of being vegan. I just love food so much. I just have to kind of inhale it. But the vegan sandwich is amazing. And what's so great about this place is that they actually have a sandwich called the vegan sandwich. When the place is vegan friendly, like really vegan friendly, they have that vegan label on the food, which is great because even though you definitely should still ask questions because sometimes people don't really know what veganism is and they'll put that label on there, these guys definitely know what it is, and the sandwich is amazing. It's got tofu and jalapenos and noodles in it and cucumbers and carrots, and it's on this big French hoagie, and it's just really delightful.
You've had it before then?
Oh yeah, I've probably been there like 3 or 4 times already because the sandwich is like less than $4. So it's definitely it's more than worth the money, so.
Yeah, and they have a new location that's opening up in about 2 weeks, so twice your bon me pleasure, so.
Where's that gonna be, do you know?
Oh, you would ask me that, wouldn't you? I think it's out on, it's a little further south, so their location now is 34th South State, and I think that location is like, I'm gonna lie to you. It's on Highland. Maybe it's further north. It's either north or south on Highland.
I can be sure.
I can look it up and report back to you. You know, typically, yeah, those Vietnamese, Asian places have a lot of great vegetarian or vegan options. House of Tibet, Indian food, or Himalayan Nepalese food. They have a vegan buffet, mostly vegan, and they get what's vegan and what's not. And a lot of the vegetarian stuff, you can ask them to make vegan. That's 145 East 13th South, 4 out of 5 stars after 18 reviews. Golden Phoenix Chinese. Esther, this one you wanted to talk about, Golden Phoenix Chinese, because it's Golden Phoenix Chinese restaurant, but it's also another restaurant inside a restaurant.
Yeah, so Evergreen had been over on State Street around like 8th South for years and years and years, and it was a mostly vegan Chinese restaurant. They have like one thing on the menu that is just vegetarian, but it was extremely vegan friendly, and last year they went out of business and everyone was really bummed. Even here in the Slug office, that's somewhere that we went for lunch all the time because they had great lunch specials, and so we were all really sad that they went out of business. But then they popped up a few months later inside of the Golden Phoenix, and they actually have their own kind of separate spot. It's got the same tables and everything that were in the Evergreen restaurant on State Street earlier, and it's just really, really good. There are two things on the menu that are my favorite. The number 19, which is the...
By the number, you know it. By the number, sure.
number 19, which is the Kung Pao Wow tofu, but I get it with soy. It's these little meaty soy balls that taste just like chicken. I haven't had chicken in a few years, so, you know.
You remember chicken tasting like,
yes. Yeah. But it's really good. It's got some pepper, it's a little bit spicy. And then the famous number 7, which is their kind of yellow curry, potato, carrot, soy just wonderful thing that they have on the menu, and that's probably the most popular. Yeah. Most people get the number 7.
Yeah, and as I understand it, they have a separate cooking services for their vegan stuff, so they're really sensitive to that. And again, that's Golden Phoenix, which is 1084 South State, 4 out of 5 stars after 8 reviews. And yeah, rejoice, Evergreen fans, it's back in the form of the Golden Phoenix. And then, you know, some other places that aren't necessarily vegan but have some good vegan options, of course, Blue Plate Diner, 2041 South 21st East, 3.5 out of 5 after 146 reviews. Some of their vegan items, vegan sausage, vegan tofu breakfast burrito, vegan burger, the other places with good vegan options. Yeah, I mean, really, any like any Vietnamese place, Indochine, any of those kind of places, Long Life Veggie House, a lot of vegetarian stuff and vegan stuff as well. So yeah, you're good. And then
you've got to be careful though. I'd say that any place that you go to, be very specific on what veganism is with them. Tell them exactly what it is that you don't want in your food. And even at some of those places, you might even have to ask to see their labels. Because I hate to be that person, but...
You mean the vegan?
The truth is that some people don't really understand, and they might even lie to you.
So
be careful.
Be vigilant. Be vigilant. But, I think even like 5 years ago, there was a lot of misunderstanding. I think people are getting much, much better about it. Just by the numbers, if you type vegan into Yelp Salt Lake City and just search Salt Lake County, there's 108 results. And now some of those, I think, say not very good vegan options, but I think that's valuable information to have if you're vegan as well. If you expand it to like the Wasatch Front, 154 results. So certainly there's a whole slew of places and people are talking about it. There's a lot more people who are vegan who are yelping about where they have their little hidden secret gem. So I guess maybe we'll go into some of the vegan, really vegan centric places.
Yeah, let's dive in.
If you want to go like really like, vegan food, raw food, of course you have Omar's Rawtopia, 2148 South Highland, 4.5 out of 5 after 43 reviews. Monica T, she says, I'm a meat and potatoes loving Texan. And she got the raw pizza. She said calling it pizza is a bit of a stretch, but it was still pretty amazing. I absolutely love the mix of flavors and everything's tasted super fresh. And then another raw food place that just opened in the front of Cali's Natural Foods at 389 West 17th South is Organic Manic. And it is vegan, raw, almost all of it's raw food. There's some soups and stuff. So
I've been there.
You have been there.
Yeah, it's really good.
And your thoughts?
She's the maker of the well-known Aggie's brand of food here that some vegans really enjoy. She makes a flaxseed cake that she's got on the market. She'll sell different places. Like you can pick it up at Jade. And their deal is that they mainly just have a raw food bar, so you can go and get things like their raw food sushi, which is pretty tasty. They've got some cold soups, and their salads are really good. They also offer cooking classes there. You can get on their mailing list, and they'll tell you when the vegan raw cooking classes are. And the people that own the place swear by veganism as a way, and raw foodism as a way to extend life and enjoy things a lot more. And they do it with a really colorful and flavorful palate, so it's...
Yeah.
It's got my vote.
Yeah, it's a buffet, like pay by the ounce kind of thing.
Yeah.
A couple of street food places. There are a couple of them. City Dogs, of course, is probably the most storied. They're out. New owners now. 300 South, 200 East, 4.5 out of 5 after 18 reviews. They have a vegan rib sandwich. I haven't had it. Anyone in the room had it before?
No.
Okay. No, I always get the D-Dog when I go.
The D-Dog?
Which is what they're known for, right?
Yeah, it's got jalapenos on it, because I love those, and avocado, and it's just a really good combination.
Yeah, definitely check them out. And then also Union Street, 400 South, 200 East. We just got an O. Tell me what you like. Yes,
okay, so the La Paz tacos, but I always get them with the wrap, are so, so good. It's tempeh and what Lorraine Clegg, she's a well-known vegan here. She does the vegan drinks, and she's a vegan chef. And she's one of the co-owners of that, along with her partner, James. And she makes this bueno sauce that's like this. I don't even know what it is, but it's amazing.
It's bueno.
Like, yes.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Muy bueno.
Yeah.
You just riff on bueno for 2 seconds.
Yeah, Jed D actually talks about Tacos La Paz in his review, and he just breaks it down. Take the Tacos La Paz, citrus marinated and breaded, fried tempeh sticks, topped with cabbage, bueno sauce, and fresh squeezed lime.
Yeah. That sounds good even to me, and I hate tempeh.
Yeah, there you have it. Some others we need to mention here. Vertical Diner, huge, kind of a mainstay. Yelper shout out, the tofu scramble, pancakes, biscuits and gravy. And I just heard from someone upstairs that from 3 to 6 now, everything with seitan in it from 3 to 6 Monday through Friday is $6.66.
That's really metal.
Yeah, and meatless Mondays, everything's 25% off. I didn't verify it, but this is the word according to...
Yeah, they have some really great deals. My favorite is the breaded chicken sandwich. That's what I get almost every time. Buffalo style, which is kind of new on their menu, so...
Yeah. Check out Sage's Cafe, 473 East, 300 South. Again, kind of a mainstay for Inessa O. Yelburn. Inessa O says, a great vegan place, even for picky non-vegans. So there's a lot of stuff on the menu. And then finally, a couple of bakeries for treats.
My favorite, treats.
City Cakes and Cafe. We're sitting here with about a half dozen cookies from them right in front of us. What have you liked so far? I know you had ginger snap. That's a mocha thing.
Oof. Yeah, I had the... Do you want to split this with me instead?
Yeah.
So we're having the mocha thin right now. I had the ginger snap. It was good. And I ate the sugar cookie, and that was good too. I've never met a cookie I didn't like, vegan or otherwise. And I bake vegan sometimes too, so I'll eat anything.
Yeah, they're at 282 East, 900 South. And then if you want to go to Cakewalk Baking Company, 434 South, 900 East, they're 4.5 out of 5 after 20 reviews. So really, I think the message is there's a ton of places that really are focusing on this, and even more places that have a great amount of options for folks who are vegan and want something delicious to eat. You can get good vegan food in Salt Lake City, and you can get a lot of it.
Yeah.
We're one of the top vegan places in the nation, actually.
How'd you like that cookie?
It's good.
It's mocha-y. It's definitely yeah, it's caffeinated.
Very.
I'm getting a buzz. I didn't think vegan food could buzz you. It's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us again, Jeffrey. I'm sure people want to know more about this, all these different options. They can go to yelp.com. And you have a weekly newsletter that you write about as well. And what did you profile this week?
We have food challenges. Probably one of my favorite ones I've ever written. So I wrote about food challenges, decidedly non-vegan, most of them.
Like oh, right.
Giant pizzas and massive burgers and all kinds of just really disgusting in the right way kind of stuff. So yeah, check that at yelp.com/weekly. If you want to find vegan stuff, go to yelp.com. Just type in vegan and search away, or download the free app on any kind of smartphone you have.
All right, thanks for joining me, Esther and Jeffrey. And now the moment you've all been waiting for, well, maybe like 5 or 10 people. It's the weekly daily calendar.
Yes.
That lovely voice means that Esther Moronio, editorial assistant, is joining us. Thank you, Esther.
Yeah, thank you.
You compile these and you do this with us most of the time, and I really appreciate it.
I feel like I've been upstaged by Ricky lately, though.
Don't worry.
I don't do death growls like he does.
He's out of my life. He's dead to me.
Good.
Glad to see you're back in. Thursday, June 14th, let's start this thing off with a bang. Actually, a discreet bang.
Yes. This Will Destroy You is playing at Urban, and they are one of my favorite bands, and I know they're one of your favorites, too.
They're good.
They're super noisy. Don't call them post-rock, that's not what they are, really. It's kind of like ambient rock, just amazing music, and they're going to put on a good show, as they always do. So definitely go check them out.
They played at last year the big outdoor concert series, right? Didn't they play at the Galloway?
No, they played at Kilby last year. Yeah, they played this little show at Kilby, and then I saw them again at South by Southwest. Yeah, they're just so good, and that kind of music puts you like in a just weird place. And I can't describe it. It's the kind of music that I bike to at night.
You're looking up to your left. So
does that mean I'm lying?
No. It's the right, you're lying. That means you're recalling a bike ride. I think looking up to the left.
Yes.
It's classic bike rider. Body language. And Friday, June 15th, Corrosion of Conformity, Torch, Black Cobra, and local band Gaza will be at Urban.
Yeah, and there's actually our cover story is Torch. And we have an interview with Corrosion of Conformity on our Napalm Flesh metal feature online. So check both of those things out.
All available at slugmag.com if you only have access to that. And you can find that on your iPhone app as well. And Saturday, June 16th, we've all anxiously been waiting for the Bonneville Classic Rod and Cycle Show, which is at 1885 South 300 West. Are you a fan of Nico Case? Do you know who she is at least?
I know who she is.
She'll be at the Library Square Amphitheater for the Summer Solstice Show, the Utah Arts Fest, on that same day, Saturday, June 16th. And Monday, June 18th, I know how much you like black metal.
Love it.
Love it so much.
That's why I'm wearing corpse paint today. Can't you see?
Yeah, I'm wearing aviators, you're wearing corpse paint. Municipal Waste, 3 inches of Blood, and Black Tusk will be in the venue. That's a pretty good growl.
That wasn't really a growl.
I know, but that's all we'll get from you, so. Yep. And The Life and Times and Umi.
Umami.
You say Umi, umami. I say Umami. We'll be at Urban.
Yes, and they're co-headlining. I haven't seen The Life and Times, but Umi I've seen a couple times. Fronted by this female guitarist that really knows how to shred, so.
Was she at South by Southwest this year, right?
Yeah, she was. And
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, they opened for Cursive back in February, so it's kind of cool that they're co-headlining.
And now this is the super exciting part of the show for me.
Yay!
Will you give us our birthdays, Esther?
On June 12th, we have Kate O'Connor. Happy birthday, Kate! She is our web designer, so all that web stuff. And the iPhone app is actually her doing. On June 14th, happy birthday to Timo H. He is one of our Slug Music writers. And on June 16th, you wanna do it? You wanna death growl?
I think it's bad for my throat.
Sorry, Ricky, we can't death growl. But happy birthday to Ricky Mitchell. He is Slug's contributing editor, a writer, and one of R&E Palm Flesh editors as well. So happy birthday to Ricky. And on June 18th, happy birthday to Matthew Pothier. He's one of our Slug videographers. So happy birthday to all of you.
Happy birthday, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Weekly Daily Calendar Rundown with Esther, of course. And also, I wanted to mention that we are sitting in our freshly painted studio. Isn't it awesome?
Feeling kind of high.
The paint fumes are still here, but that's part of the love of the game that we're experiencing right now.
It's
Dusk,
cool,
aka Ryan, works at Urban Lounge. He also raps under his moniker. The painter of this room, it's really awesome. I like the style. And he put a really cool version of Salt Lake Underground there on the wall. And I was gonna take a picture of us in here. Do you wanna do that, Esther?
Yeah,
and then we'll tweet it later. Speaking of, you can find our Twitter at Slug Soundwaves. Yeah, fix your hair, Esther. This is all making for great radio, by the way. Perfect, Esther. That's delightful. For more on our Twitter, go to @SlugSoundwaves. Also, you can find our daily calendar on our website. You're the curator of that, so it helps to send info to calendar@slugmag.com so we can put your information on there. It's where we pull things for the podcast and for that website, as well as the back of the magazine. And it's available on the iPad app as well.
True dat.
True dat indeed. Hashtag true dat. Thanks for joining me, Esther. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, JP.
If I were God, I'd kick your ass.
We'd like to bring you another track from Dead City by a Lake from Victims Willing. They were a punk band from West Valley City that coalesced in 1980, and they became a Salt Lake City staple of the underground scene in the 80s, opening for national bands like NOFX, The Descendants, and Youth of Today. The band quietly fell apart in the early 90s and officially disbanded in 92. In 2008, co-founder Brent Barker died unexpectedly following a routine medical operation, prompting his brother Brad Barker to reunite the remaining members and release an album. From the previously mentioned compilation, here's Victims Willing with Lines and Borders.
Somebody's gonna draw a line. Someone needs to
As we previously mentioned, this compilation is available only at Raunch Records at 1098 East, 2100 South in Sugar House. For more info on the history of Victims Willing, check out our January 2010 issue in our archives at slugmag.com. Or for more recent info, including current albums and shows, visit them online at victimswilling.com. Grow Wild Nursery specializes in plants, trees, grasses, and other natural plant life native to Utah and the region. Because of their geographical location and the arid western environment, many of the plants require very little water over the course of a year and can withstand the harsh climates the area brings. Grow Wild Nursery also provides design concepts to bring out the beauty of the desert in your own gardening and landscaping aspirations. I'm joined by the director and owner, Jeff Christensen. Thanks for sitting down with us, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
I'm curious about what your relationship with Utah landscaping is and the plants around here in general is.
Well, when I was in high school, I started working for a woman named Gail Wire, who is an artist, and she started a design company, landscape design. She started nursing native plants in her backyard in Immigration Canyon, and she started growing native plants basically to revegetate home sites, you know, just new home sites in Immigration Canyon, new houses going up all the time up there, and basically putting the native vegetation back in place. And we've since expanded. We've got a retail shop in Sugar House right now, and landscape and design company as well. So we're all about advocating for native plants and using that in landscape design.
And how long ago did you start Grow Wild?
I actually didn't start the business. I started a landscaping company in 2006 to kind of accompany the nursery and help move some plants through the jobs that we do. I took over the company from a good friend of mine, a woman who started it. Her name was Gail Wire.
Oh, the aforementioned Gail?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
That's her. And Utah is a unique state in that it has several different regions, high deserts, snowy mountains, and I've lived on the east and west coast and in the middle of the country, and I haven't found its like in terms of variety. What are the main categories of plants we find growing in Utah's environments that I didn't see on the coast, for instance?
Well, plants kind of organize themselves into plant communities based on temperature, high and low temperatures during the year. Elevation is a big one. So as you go up the mountains from the valleys in Salt Lake, you encounter different groups, sort of consistent groups of plants. And as you go up in elevation, those groups sort of change and plants become more appropriate for, you know, higher elevations and more moisture, cooler temperatures. And so you've got a real diversity of plants from rising up from Salt Lake up to the tops of the peaks surrounding here. And then you've got the West Desert to the west. You've got Colorado Plateau and sort of arid high desert to the south, and a lot of interesting sort of basin and range and high mountain sort of alpine plants as well. But real diverse landscape geologically and in terms of vegetation too. And yeah, I've never really seen its equal anywhere else either. So pretty in love with it, the landscape.
I oftentimes, and this is what I wondered when I first moved from Texas to here, because we had a problem with water there, and I came to the desert and there was Kentucky bluegrass everywhere, and it's just hogging up sprinklers. I see them all the time. You know, I see the worst offender is when it's raining out, you know, and the sprinklers are going on. How did such a water-hungry grass like that end up in Utah?
I can only guess that it was just, well, first of all, it's a real economical way to just completely cover your whole yard in green. And so for people that have just built a house and they're completely out of money, it makes sense to just slap down some grass.
Right.
And water is heavily subsidized and by our government, so water is sort of artificially cheap, so people don't get, you know, hit too much by the cost of watering their lawns, unless you scale that up real big. But I can only imagine that it's just a landscaping form that is imported from wetter climates and sort of a cop-out for a lack of creativity.
and most people would agree that it's a waste of water, except for the people that are planting it probably, because they have this ideal maybe of their house and how it should look.
There's a lot of grasses that are native to this area that you could plant and create a lawn out of, maybe using different techniques than just rolling down sod, but there's also a range of types of sod too. You can get types of grass to put in your yard that require less water than others, and just, you know, the slightest bit of research and sort of looking into it on your own goes a long way. And people are busy these days, and, you know, a lot of people don't feel that they have the time to yardscaping seriously.
Well, you mentioned on the website that Kentucky bluegrass requires over a gallon of water per square foot per week.
Yeah.
And that a carpet of native yarrow, blue grama, or buffalo grass might only require 1 to 2 applications of supplemental water per month.
That's true, and I mean, I've got all those species and about 100 others growing in the ground in experimental gardens that we have at our shop that you can walk around and check out, and plants like the ones you mentioned that I haven't watered in years too. So once they're in the ground, they're just happy here because they live here. So they're the native plants.
Exactly, and I find it to be more aesthetically pleasing. Like I've spent some time in St. George. Down there, they have a different aspect in how they do landscaping.
And they do a pretty nice job of it too. Even if you go down to Las Vegas too, I mean every square inch of Las Vegas is landscaped in really simple kind of consistent style that's appropriate to the area, and that's one thing that they got right down there is they've developed a style of landscaping that's really appropriate to their climate, and they've landscaped the whole city and they've got gobs of money down there but they can afford to do that. But yeah, I mean it's just about doing something that's a little bit more appropriate to where you live. Planting certain types of plants that are common and available in nurseries here just are not really appropriate for this climate. You can keep them alive more or less, a lot of supplemental water, but I think there's a lot more interesting ways to go, and planting native plants is a real good way to not lose your initial investment. Buy some plants, you actually keep them alive, and you could do something a little bit more creative and appropriate in your yard. And grass is okay. There's types of grass that do well, and there's others that don't do as well.
Well, you guys, you have it down, obviously. Grow Wild seems to be doing really well, and you've got a growing customer base. And you're experts at xeriscaping, I imagine. Will you talk a little bit about that concept and what that means and what kind of landscaping you would do to bring that effect?
Yeah, well, it's kind of exciting, I think, what we're doing, because nobody's really developed a style of xeriscaping that's really, really keyed to the native plants here, that's a style that seems to blend in with the surroundings, seems appropriate. And so I feel like we have a chance to maybe do that. And not too many people use native plants in their landscape, which is kind of bizarre because we're surrounded by them and people know less about the native vegetation than they do about this strange cultivated varieties of exotic plants that you get at Home Depot or Lowe's or some of the other places like that. So we're trying to develop a style that's recognizable, that's simple, that actually is low maintenance, and a practical form of landscaping that incorporates native plants, uses very little water, easy to maintain, doesn't undermine the property value of your house. And yeah, that's kind of what we strive for, kind of a combining rocks, rock work, flagstone patios, walls, native plants, and just different creative ways to create interest in your yard, sculptural, there's really kind of no limits to it. Just have to kind of flex some creativity.
You work with cacti, I imagine?
Yeah.
If you have a favorite one of those, which one would it be?
Ooh, whichever one's in bloom on any given day. It's pretty cool to watch those things just kind of in their waves of blooming. I've got pretty extensive collection and cacti also that we sell, and through early spring through summer there's always something blooming, and it's pretty cool to get to work every day and see what's going on in the greenhouse. Get what's up with the cactus and all the other plants in the nursery. There's always something happening. It's kind of interesting.
Well, thank you for your time, Jeff. It's nice to meet you, and if you want to find out more information about Grow Wild Nursery, it's located at 372 East 2100 South in Sugar House and available online at growwildnursery.com.
Grow wild.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Sound Waves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Are you attending any of the shows at this year's Crucial Fest? What bands are you looking forward to seeing during the 2-week rock festival? Drop us a line and tell us your thoughts on this year's event by sending an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. We may just play you on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with main logo and art design by T-Done and technical design by Kate O'Connor.
Make sure to join our Twitter conversations. People say a lot in 140 characters at Slug Soundwaves. On next week's episode, we'll be finding out about Velo City Weekend, produced by the local bag company, Top Dead Celebrity, and Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School.